listen, think, learn, grow. Listen, think, learn, grow. Live, 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 live.
This is the Spirit of Life Metaphysics Radio Program, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Michael Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening and welcome to the Spirit of Life program for Wednesday, July 27th. My name is Michael Kelly and I'm here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Well, good evening, Michael. As always, glad to be here.
Glad to have you. Welcome to those joining us live as well as to those listening to the archives. So thankful to be here on a broadcast with no glitches whatsoever at all. Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. In addition to this broadcast, ICMH offers other educational programs that can be found at metaphysicsinstitute.org and tfuniversity.org. We're going to begin tonight with our 9 abbreviated principles of belief. Those are 1, do no harm, do right. 2, we believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. 3, we believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. 4, we are all equal, one planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. 5, we recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6, we are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7. Self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will creates self-completeness. 8. Metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And 9. Expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. So, tonight, I'm looking forward to the topic. A little bit of an explanation for those listening to the archive. The glitch we had tonight was not technological. It was actually just human. I was reading about something with, you know, the Mandela effect, and I was just looking up some more information on, the idea of living in a simulation, which is going to be what we're talking about tonight, and the time just blew past me. I usually have an alarm on my phone that goes off that lets me know that we're about to start. I don't know why, but it didn't. So I apologize for that.
And I was saying, Michael.
Looking at the clock behind me in the broadcast. It's 9:02. I'm like, what, it is?
That's all right. There's some talk in the chat room that Wendy was a little late getting on, and Audra said they waited for you.
This is the universe working out for Wendy.
That's right.
I mean, she is. But, you know, I'm looking forward to it, and thank you, Dr. Vicki, for this topic, because you had posted a great video in the Facebook group that we have. And it's just, really intriguing. The idea of the living in a simulation or the Mandela effect is kind of what we're delving into. But we're going to be varied with our topics because we're also talking about, just what about just alternative dimensions and things like that. We had quite the bitter debate before the broadcast started about one Mr. Monopoly.
Yes, he wore a monocle.
See, I don't remember the monocle. I just remember the top hat and the, mustache.
Well, he had a monocle, I'm telling you, and I'm right. But the whole thing was, I happened to come across a pretty cool page on YouTube, the Y-Files, if anybody's interested, later, not right now. But he's talking about we're living in a simulation. And that it's around us all the time. And it's quite fascinating because he delves into quantum mechanics, the double slit experiment, quantum entanglement, and what defies the laws of physics and the concept of time. And it really is, in my view, a really well put together presentation to poke us a little bit about, what is reality and how we're experiencing reality. Now, after that I'm going to indulge here for a minute, Michael. And everybody on the Spirit of Life broadcast page, Facebook page, the link is there. So at a later time, certainly, I really encourage you to watch it. But for the moment, Dr. Zach had watched this video and he made a commentary that I really do want to read because it kind of explains things. He's right in line with the phone call I got from my daughter when she was watching it too, so kind of mind-blowing. So he writes, "So this may have shaken up an existential crisis within me. There's a lot of implications here. So lucid dreaming, is that our testing environment? Where we can run a program in a safe place where we don't actually have to deal with the fallout as if it were a production task? Does that mean when we die, we actually wake up in bed with a cool cranial cap and get to meet the maker of the program? Does that mean things like self-induced out-of-body experiences are actually a program hack? Are we simulating suffering? That seems to be one of the common denominators of humanity, is that we're all suffering, but why? Why is that an integral part of the simulation? Are ghosts people from other timelines, but their code just didn't write them dead? It also feels like another explanation of some sort of divine being. Humanity is obsessed with understanding its origin. There's something biologically wired in the brain to make us seek that out. So many things to consider. Thanks for sharing." But he adds, "Arguably, I think because of how the reality is rendered, I think our interconnectedness is laying weight on the program, which is why we are experiencing these collapses. For example, if the program only renders out about a mile from our perspective and we're all getting closer and closer together, more and more reality has to appear full time. I think that would cause some things to crash. Interesting stuff to consider." So I know that's a little bit lengthy, but it's certainly worthy because he made me laugh at the same time. It really does poke you to think, you know.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, you know, such a fascinating concept. And one of the most compelling arguments for it is just mathematical principle. Mm. We know that right now our computing technology is accelerating at a certain pace. If you continue along that line of thinking, you know, what does that mean 5,000 years from now? Ooh. And when you have that kind of computing power, you know, it's feasible that we will one day create simulations that almost act as if they're real. Then, therefore, is it not possible that we are also in a simulation? You know, it's a fascinating idea, but one of the things that's always bothered me with this line of thinking is it doesn't really answer anything, because it just kicks the can down the road. Because then I want to know, well, okay, fair enough. Then who created the people that created the simulation? Where did they come from? Do they live on a spherical planet? Is the simulation not a computer-oriented one, but maybe something that where you're manipulating the laws of reality and physics or something like that, where you have something on a grand scale, maybe if people familiar with the Star Trek universe, something akin to like a Q being that can manifest thought and things like that. Is that not a type of a simulation in and of itself? So, you know, these are some of the things that roll off my mind.
Well, a simulation of consciousness, and I think there might have been a little hint in there of what Dr. Zach was saying about if we're all joined, if our consciousness is joined in one way, you know, and how we're all moving forward, or at least we believe we are, and creating a reality. And, you know, and I really appreciated how the Mandela effect was, you know, considered in this little 22-minute video. However, he believes that, of course, those things did not happen. It's just our perception of reality. But did they or didn't they? You see, so there's nothing conclusive there. And when we have, and we've often talked in the past, Michael, about, you know, we exist in alternate dimensions of space-time simultaneous to this one. Could they not bump into each other? I'm thinking.
Yeah, exactly.
So in that bumping into each other in those frequencies of energy, because everything is energy, could there not be some kind of an overlap? And then, you and I were talking before the show, too, about how the human mind is the least reliable for memory because we process emotionally. And,
yes.
And all memory, nothing exists in the past until we remember it in our minds. and which I find that really quite profound when we think about it. But because we're retrieving it by our senses, we retrieve a memory by a smell, a feeling, you know, a song, for instance, and it triggers what we believe is a memory. So how accurate is our memory for what we see?
I think something that's important to remember is, if you're going to look at this from a evolutionary standpoint, the, you know, photorealism or complete 100% factual accuracy of memory is not really that important. What's important is how that memory helps us survive and how it shapes our behaviors and things. So that's how it's based. You know, that's why we base it on emotions. When we feel things, we associate it with what's going on so that we can find it again, in a, so to speak. You know, I also feel that, you know, some of the common explanations, like, you know, we've been joking about the Monopoly Man and or Mr. Monopoly. I really don't know what his name is. But, you know, it's just weird. I don't really remember the monocle. I can, you know, picture him, like, you know, running away or, like, getting put in jail, and I just see him with that little mustache and top hat. But it's one of the things, and this is a potential explanation. Now, with something that is, you know, rather unverifiable, the sky's the limit, and we can have fun with it, because when we explore these ideas, even if they're not, you can't prove it, you can't know it, because it goes into that, you know, abstract realm of thought and existence. But the very capacity for us to conceive of these types of things expands our awareness of what's possible. But getting back to what might be a rather mundane explanation, this is something I was mentioning before too. We picture the Monopoly Man, we picture a top hat, and, you know, when a human remembers things, they remember certain details, and a lot of times their brain will fill in certain other details. So when we think of old, you know, kind of 19th century robber baron kind of rich person, we think of a top hat, you know, tux and a monocle. And so we have the Monopoly Man with, you know, a tux and a top hat. Our brain, you know, fills in something that's very common that we associate with those things.
No.
And, you know, poof.
No.
I know. That's
no.
Why we agreed that I'm obviously from a different dimension. No. That's
Dr.
obviously
Zach,
the more...
Dr. Ione, a bunch of people. And in the chat, they all agree. He had a monocle. I'm telling you, Michael.
But
I'm listening to what you're saying. I hear you. Truly, I do.
I know. Well, and here's the thing. It absolutely could be, you know, still something of the Mandela effect, because nobody really can define what is it that makes the Mandela effect the Mandela effect. Do we just cross dimensions, like you were saying, when we bump into each other? And that's why we kind of, you know, tongue in cheek, but not really, jokingly said that maybe I'm just from a different dimensional bubble, where in the one that I remember, he just didn't have a monocle.
No, and this is where I think that, again, it's... what we're most familiar with, if somebody never played Monopoly, they wouldn't pay any attention to it. So, you know what I'm saying? They saw the Monopoly game on a shelf, never played it. Who cares if he has a monocle? But if you're somebody who grew up with it, played the game, you know, and really attached to that memory. So I think that that's all relative also, is what we focus on. And what seems to be important to us. It's no different when I hear somebody had, you know, just died, when they died 20 years ago. In my mind, I'm thinking, I was really emotional about that. And you see, it's, so I think, in my view, there is something to the point of interdimensional space-time, that there's energy within energy. And to me, Michael, it's no different than a dog can smell what we can't, or has senses that we don't have. That perhaps, you know, intergalactics, extraterrestrials can come from their portals of space-time dimensions, like other frequencies of so-called simulations. You know, what we would view as a simulation, but... You know, and this is not something new. I want to just remind everybody, these questions have been presented probably for the last 50, 60, 70 years. This isn't something that's new or suddenly somebody's tackling. All kinds of questions have been asked about this, you know, by governments, by universities, by some pretty, mm-hmm. you know, heavy duty people about kind of where we are, how to, traveling at the speed of light and beyond. How do you bend light? How do you, you know, I mean, everything from remote viewing to whatever. So the notion of, especially now we're into like quantum computers and artificial intelligence, you know, these simulations is reaching to the point where they're saying there's greater leverage for believing we are in a sort of simulation rather than not, you know. So I'm open to it. I don't necessarily see it as a simulation that somebody's pulling the strings.
Well, that's another interesting thought, isn't it? That what if a program runs wild? And, you know, there's just so many fascinating layers.
I know.
You can just peel it like an onion that goes on to infinity, beyond infinity. When you have an infinite universe that we know of that's on our plane of existence, which just goes on to infinity and time goes on and on and on, you can have many different varieties within that same universe. Add to that an infinite layer of dimensions and multiverse, you know, realities. That's infinity on top of infinity. Yeah. And, you know, again, I had made a comment on this recently. I was exploring some concepts of, you know, these flat earth ideologies. And that's essentially what it is. And I'm like, for the longest time, I could not figure it out. What is going on? Why? We've known the Earth is round for so long. Thousands of years. We've known that the Earth is round. The entire idea that, you know, Columbus proved the Earth was round was a complete fallacy. The only reason the mission was approved is because they knew the Earth was round, but they thought it was a lot bigger. In fact, they knew how big it was, and they were right. Mm. But Columbus thought he could get across the ocean and hit Asia. As, you know, many people are familiar with. And, you know, so it's just, nobody in thousands of years, no, you know, educated person has ever thought that the Earth was anything but round. But I get it now, because it's about being the center of the universe again. And so one of these flat earthers posted, they want us to feel small. They want us to feel insignificant, and we're not. And that's what it is. When we think about reality, I mean, these ideas about simulations, the infinite nature of it, when you have these layers upon layers and you realize the immensity of existence and reality, you can feel small.
Well, Wendy just brought something up in the chat. She says, some of us are in one dimension with the monocle. Some of us are in the dimension without it. And maybe the subject brought up brings those two together at the same time. And, of course.
Kind of a form of quantum entanglement, so?
Yeah, and then Zach said he likes that notion, and Wendy said it's like a collective consciousness, pulls us together when we have the same thought, sort of like that.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, and again, I just want to clarify, Michael, when I say I'm leaning in the direction of simulation, I see it as frequencies of energy and cause and effect, action, reaction. I'm not necessarily saying that we're pre-programmed to make those decisions and we're without free will. So I want to make that clear.
Well, that wouldn't be a simulation. The simulation has to find out how things would react, not programmed, right? So if a computer is so advanced, it would have to create beings that can think and act on their own, that are, you know, have agency, that are self-aware, you know, and that it would be the complexity of it. And the wonderful thing about this brings us right back around to AI.
Mm.
Because if we are all in a simulation and we are a type of program, does that not by definition mean that artificial intelligence is possible?
Like a game within a game within a game.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's the entire idea, right? That we conceivably within, well, doesn't matter how long it takes. As long as we don't kill ourselves and we continue on some path of technological advancement, what is it going to look like thousands of years from now? What kind of technology will we have? What capability will we have? Is it true that perhaps, you know, what we sometimes think of as aliens that have visited are simply humans from a different time, different time-space?
Yeah, that's certainly been addressed a few times, you know. That's not a new concept either, you know. We're from the future. If we are from the past, we can also be from the future. Many people claim to have been to the future. We've talked about that before.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And, you know, the concept of reincarnating both back into the past and into the future, things like that. You know, it's kind of funny. I was thinking about that. I saw an article in Popular Mechanics talking about that idea of aliens being time travelers. Mm. And I was just thinking to myself, hey, way to be behind the times, Popular Mechanics.
That's fun.
But
I think what's, you know, look, what's awesome for me is that we can talk about it. And I love it that there's other people kind of thinking of the same things, looking at the same things, you know, not living a myopic little life going through it, but, you know, expanding. How does that change my everyday life? Well, it probably doesn't, to be honest, except that my mind is full of greater possibilities. So that, to me, is two distinctions between just going through our lives, you know, kind of unconsciously and moving forward and making decisions and yes or no and liking, disliking, you know, and so on, versus, you know, what if and what if and what about, and having more, just more possibilities and being conscious and being present and looking at, to me, what is natural law, which is cause and effect. And again, I think that that lifts our intelligent quotient enormously. Not just by intellect, by intelligence, as well as hopefully our emotional quotient, which I think that really needs some help these days.
But, oh, God.
I know. But again, it's the, Audrey was saying she was thinking the same thing about a game within a game, that her son was just playing a video game, and now he's in ancient Greece, time travel. See, and that's a form of consciousness, right? I mean, it's so we can look at something in many different ways, opening our minds, which to me is that expanding consciousness. And to me, that's the most important thing in life, is how to then expand consciousness. How do I become more aware? How do I open my mind to thoughts and possibilities? And do I think that we're in a preordained kind of program? No. Did I get excited the first time I ever saw the Matrix movie? Oh yeah. Like that was wild. I said, who wrote this? It's brilliant. You know, thinking about, and it's not about taking the red pill or the blue pill, other than, do you want to be more conscious or not? Do you want to open your mind to possibilities or not? Do you see that you're kind of being a sheep? Or do you want to understand that there's other things at play?
You know, it's, you know, such a fascinating concept. And, you know, it built upon other ideas, too. But just when it came together like that, created a pop culture movement. And it also created a swath of people that were awoken to a new idea about thinking about the reality.
Yeah.
But, you know, just the idea of it. And one thing I will say, humans being batteries, I mean, wouldn't it by definition take more energy to keep us alive than we would produce? But that's neither here nor there. But just the idea of this kind of concept expands the way we think about life and what is real.
Yeah.
You know, what is the reality that we experience, you know?
Dr. Mike just said LSD was good at that.
Yeah, it's sometimes I'll read these comments and it's hard to not just burst out laughing on
it. Some of them are pretty good. I'm with you on that, Dr. Mike, but I only ever did that once when I was a teenager and said, oh, I'll never do that again. That was like...
you got me beat.
I like control too much, I'm afraid. So
I know.
That's where I draw the line. But what is control? You see, you can think you have control, but you have no control at all. Alter your consciousness, you think you don't have control, but maybe that is the control. Oh, the paradox. Yeah. See?
Mm. Oh, paradox. You know, just...
Yeah, let's not go there tonight.
Yeah, right. but, you know, just the possibilities are endless, and it gives you a kind of... It's invigorating, isn't it? When you kind of tap into that curiosity, it's tapping into something, the wonder of existence. And, you know, I haven't dusted this old quote off in a while. One of my favorite quotes, I actually got it on a bookmark. It is a quote from Albert Einstein. It is, the most beautiful thing that we can experience is the mysterious.
Mm.
And, I perish the thought that one day we would know everything. It's like there is something about the human experience where we crave that challenge. We need exploration. We it's not something that's just, something that we do as a pastime or something that we do once in a while. The human soul craves exploration, be it physically in this world, exploring new terrain, new places, or is it also the exploration of the human mind, of our awareness of ourselves? It is just that kind of just awe that comes from the sheer
I know.
immensity of possibility.
So Dr. Audra said in the chat, finding control in the chaos. And Michael, that tweaked something in my brain that in this next week or two, let's talk about control versus management
Good one.
and what that is. What is the difference? Are they the same but different? And actually using, real life situations that might get, shed some light on how we can all become better managers, and do we have control? And there is an existential question in that too, considering that we've just had this discussion. So.
Yeah, well, I mean, I appreciate everybody that contributed to my most recent existential crisis. And it's not like, I go a long time without an existential crisis anyway, so thanks a lot.
Just
But no, it's.
before everybody, we start picking cards here, I just want to say, I know Dr. Mike has been in touch with Michael, and in this next week or two, we're hoping to have Dr. Mike on to talk about his adventure, to see
Yeah, I believe.
75th anniversary. Go ahead, Michael.
I was going to say of Roswell. And it's going to be an interesting conversation. We're looking forward to it. And, we're getting the details squared away, but definitely going to be a fun discussion. So, coming up, we're looking forward to that. We're going to be talking about control and management. I'm going to throw in a little bit about looking back to the past of, the journey of human knowledge and metaphysical exploration and things like that. So I think we have some good stuff coming up.
You do.
But I am really looking forward to having Dr. Mike on.
Oh, so am I. I got a lot of questions. I really do.
No, it's gonna be a good
For
time.
the record, my second daughter and her husband have been there, and they sent me, of course, I have an alien mug. I have, little things that they, gifts that they sent me from there. It's the one place I like to go and just even meditate and just tune in. But for all the other ships that are everywhere, I could probably do it anywhere, right? So, but there's something cool about Roswell. And maybe that's just
Yeah.
because of all the attention people give it also.
Well, it's there's the idea of it, the fascination of what might have been. It's intoxicating.
It is.
It is one of the things that I find most redeeming about humanity is our curiosity, our passion for exploring the unknown. Sometimes when I feel dark, when I look at, human depravity, it gets down, but then you realize that's not the whole story.
I just go
You have
watch
to look at the
alien stuff.
entirety. Good discussion. Good discussion. I'm
Oh,
looking
Mike,
forward to the ones we're going to have coming up.
I sorry, Michael. Dr. Mike said the only thing he
Oh,
brought back from
yeah.
Roswell was COVID, and we're really sorry to hear that,
Oof.
but glad you're on the mend, really.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I've had COVID and dealing with long COVID symptoms, and this is no fun. No fun at all.
Yeah.
So,
Well,
all right.
hoping you feel better soon.
I'd like
All
to
right.
welcome Andrew in the chat, a new name. That's welcome, Andrew. And for those who don't know, such as Andrew, this is our time that Michael draws from our inner oracle self-discovery cards, built by Dr. Kelly. And I draw a tarot card in support of whatever the message might kind of be there. So. That's what we're going to do. So, and I think we have our own up first, Michael. If you're ready, I'm ready.
I'm ready.
Okay.
And I love this segment because the probability of pulling these cards also, is indicative of something. I think the universe is trying to tell us something. Dr. Ione, I have number 28, do no harm, do right. Do no harm, do right is the most powerful principle to live by. Doing no harm includes words and actions to the self and others. Doing right means to also take positive action where there is a need, without infringing on the free will or rights of others. Always strive for the highest good for all concerned, including yourself. Do no harm and do right establishes the foundation for all other principles.
Well, now I got the Jack of Pentacles, or, you know, the Jack of Diamonds in support of that I own. You know, we've pulled this do no harm a few times, I think, in the last couple of months. And
right.
I think what it is our reminder to watch our frustration. And specifically in this case I own, it's maybe matters of work, because that's how I see this. And applying yourself to work, dealing with coworkers, clients, and things, it can be very frustrating at times. And that's just to check in, the reminder of checking in with ourselves and making sure that you also do no harm and do right to yourself. So it's not just about how we lash out or want to, you know, sometimes. I'm being facetious right now, but I saw a great meme on Facebook that sometimes we wonder how people even manage to make their way out of the birth canal, you know. It just cracked me up. So I don't mean to be mean or anything, but that you got to have some humor. So I think this is about being kind to yourself too, Ione, is take time out when you need to so that you're not harming yourself. That's what I see.
Good advice. All right, we have Dr. Jeff next. And I have number 3, be who you are and walk your own path. You are a uniquely designed, one-of-a-kind, universal being, equally entitled to all good things, the same as others. Drawing this card encourages you to be who you are and to walk your own path, not comparing yourself with others. Give yourself permission to accept who and what you are. Move forward in the direction you need to take, that best fulfills yourself.
Well, you get the Ten of Wands or the Ten of Clubs in support of that, Jeff. And I think that all this is saying here is you might be feeling the burdens right now or feeling a little, I don't want to use the word frustration, but feeling a lethargy at times or an uncertainty that maybe it's, the path isn't always easy, right? It's sometimes we're a little conflicted or confused, but you're assured of the destination. And that's the one thing I can tell you about this, is you are inch by inch getting there, foot by foot, you're getting there. Even though you think things might, you want things to happen quicker, it's happening in its own pace. So I just want to say hang in there, persevere. You're getting there. It's coming.
All right. And we have Dr. Mike next. Glad to have you joining us tonight. Looking forward to chat. And I have wild card number 3, blocks. There is a time for movement and a time to sit still. What may seem like blocks could be an opportunity to reevaluate while allowing the universe to open new doorways. At times, we simply need to get out of our own way in order for events to unfold as they should. It can feel like free-falling when a leap of faith is required. If blocks continue, it may be a time for new direction. Do not dismay. Blockages serve purposes. Diligence and insight is required. Remain open.
Well, I got the Star in support of that, Mike, so sometimes blocks are a good thing. Sometimes it leads you to something you had no idea about. And that's kind of what the Star is saying. The Star is consciousness. Think of water and the flow of consciousness and, you know, stop, start kind of thing. And even though you might think some things are out of your way, like, hey, COVID would do it. Say, you know, well, that put a real ringer in my, you know, my intentions. But that's okay, because as the timing would go, opportunity comes nonetheless. So, and the timing may even be better. So, Wendy says Mike had this card March 23rd. Awesome.
Yeah. So, and, you know, I was just going to say the patterns are fascinating. Dr. Ellen had that card we pulled for her, the Do No Harm, Do Right, on July 13th, and then again in May.
Oh, that's a message, isn't it? Yeah. Take care of yourself, Ione. So, I have Audra next, Michael.
Audra, I have past, present, and future. The three universal laws of personal responsibility are, 1, you are accountable for your past, present, and future. 2, don't expect others to do for you what you can and should do for yourself. 3, don't do for others what they can and should do for themselves. Remember, present circumstances reflect past choices. Embrace responsibility and move forward with renewed vigor.
Well, I got the Jack of Hearts in support of that, Audrey, and I see that as a really positive affirmation about living from your heart, which we know you do. It's still being true to you. So looking at your past, your present, your future, and seeing how what you've gained, what you've learned, and the skills that you have to move forward. Sometimes when we live from the heart, we get too much in our head. And it's that balance of being able to think our way through what we feel and know to be true. But if you think first and then ask yourself, it kind of goes backwards, right? So I say, do what's true for you from your heart. But again, you already know that, Audra. So it's just an affirmation to you. It's awesome to me.
Good. Good message. All right. I believe we have Jamil next, if I'm not mistaken. Mm-hmm. And Jamil, glad to have you. I have number 21, Insight and Wisdom. Wisdom is the successful application of knowledge using experience and understanding. Insight is discernment and seeing the underlying truth. This may be a time to look deep into your inner character and underlying truth to understand motives and reasons. Insight, wisdom, and acceptance of the true nature of a present situation or individual is necessary to gain a deeper understanding as well as to discover potential solutions.
Well, I got the Seven of Diamonds or the Seven of Pentacles in support of that, Jamil. And look, to me, that's always indicating a harvest message of, you know, after all the work and the toil, it's like, oh, good, you can see how the garden's grown, you know, getting ready for the harvest. You said this is a good thing. Insight and wisdom with this is saying, what is that measure of success? What you might have thought was the measure of success and where you want to be, maybe it already is, if that makes sense. You know what I mean, Michael?
Yeah.
In other words, it's you already are successful. And
absolutely.
In setting new goals for yourself, Jamil, you're already reaping the benefits of what you've put into and invested into your life. And now you're taking it into what I'm seeing here is a road unknown. And so you can't necessarily use the past as your guidepost because it's a new road. That's how I see that.
And no, I love that. It's the power that you get when you realize your own worth and you realize, you know, the successes that you already have.
Yeah.
Love that.
Yeah.
All right. We have our card keeper, Wendy, up next.
We do.
All right. Wendy, glad to have you, and thank you for what you do. Love seeing those patterns. And I'm curious to see if this one's popped up before. We have number 42, Trust and Integrity. Integrity means being true to oneself intuitively and sensibly. It is adherence to moral and ethical principles, soundness of moral character, and honesty. A trust betrayed loses integrity, and trust without integrity is empty. Trust, along with communication, is one of the two most important relationship traits. Move forward with integrity, remaining steadfast in the greatest relationship of all, yourself.
No, I was going to make a funny about the pigs. Don't eat the pigs. Trust and integrity. But I'll move along, Wendy. I got strength in support of trust and integrity, and that's really powerful. I think what this is saying here is you have tapped into something in yourself you didn't know you had. That, to me, is expanded consciousness. Again, that reaching a place in your life where, you know, you have those aha moments, but they're quiet. And so you do have that trust and integrity for yourself and others. And, of course, learning to discern things always, that never stops. But that inner strength, that will of spirit. And so it's kind of like your battery has been recharged and continues to recharge. And that's really exciting. I see that, aside from learning how to raise pigs, I think you're on quite the quite the road to learning more and taking on more, Wendy, and it's very natural for you. So it's like finding your calling. That's a really good one.
That's exciting.
Yeah.
Oh, look at that. We had a pattern. And, wow, March was a couple of repeats there. Wendy was pointing out she had that card on March 9th and the 23rd of March.
Wow.
So very interesting. All right.
Edward.
Dr. Edward, I have number 9, empowerment. Let's see. I don't know if we pulled this one in a little while. Taking your power back is literally all-powerful and absolutely priceless. It alone is the solution, in principle, for virtually every problematic circumstance in your life, from a bad relationship to spiritual harassment. Retaining your power means to retain your wholeness. When you are whole, you are empowered. Empower others by doing no harm and doing right. Sharing the best of yourself is encouraging and uplifting to yourself and others.
Boy, the Five of Wands, or the Five of Clubs in support of that, Edward, is... Whew, that's nice. It's like feeling a moment of having arrived, you know, that there is no battle, not the battle certainly that you thought. Certainly you might have encountered situations in the past that it might have been a battle, but you have empowered yourself and reached that place where those, you know, you don't sweat the small stuff anymore. Again, mm-hmm. That preference principle of Dr. Kellogg's comes to mind. And I really, really like the Five of Clubs supporting empowerment, because it's, think of a celebration without, you know, without the challenges, or, you know, you think there's a war, but there isn't. Oh, Wendy says, he had this empowerment May 4th, another repeat.
Yeah, seen a lot.
Awesome.
Another fascinating message from mathematics and probability.
There you go. I think we have Dr. Zach as our final draw for the evening, Michael.
We do. Yeah, we're drawing for Zach in a new lunar cycle. Starting off with the Leo, the best sign, if I don't say so myself. Zach, I have wild card number 2 and then some. When you have reached your limits and believe you have done all that you can do, reach deep within to stretch your true potential. Do a little more than is needed and go beyond what is required to make a positive difference. You can do it, and by doing so, you are leaving the woodpile a little higher than you found it.
Hey, look, we know you, Zach. You're always giving it the and then some.
Absolutely.
That's for sure. But the energy in support of this message here, drum roll please, is the Lovers, Zach. Now, Lovers doesn't have to be literal. It's about passion. It's about sensitivity. It's about feeling excited again, joining the two sides of self, looking at duality in that center line. And I think that if this is saying anything, Zach, it's that you might be having your own moment of aha in that and then some. So the and then some here is the thought that goes into an understanding or an energy of experience or thought. So I think that this is a really powerful message for you. The and then some is for your evolution, your spiritual evolution, and that passionate energy that you have. That's very exciting. And by the way, Zach, I love your sunflowers on Facebook. So Zach and his husband have been
definitely a green thumb.
Oh yeah, they're growing these massive sunflowers and actually starting to harvest them. They're massive, huge. And so I appreciate and some of the education that you're offering people.
Oh, absolutely.
About how to harvest a sunflower. It's pretty cool.
It is. It's interesting to be able to see, you know, how that kind of process goes. And just, you know, one of those things about nature, about life, you know, the sheer utility of something like the sunflower. Yeah. I believe you had posted that most, if not all of it, is, you know, edible, able to be used and consumed, and just one of the great harmonies of nature. Mm-hmm.
But. So Wendy's asking Michael when your birthday is. Did she wants to know why you think it's Leo? What?
No, it's coming up in a couple of days here.
Your birthday?
Yeah.
What?
the 29th.
Oh, early. Okay, everybody sing happy birthday. I'm not going to do it out loud. Happy birthday, Michael.
This is why I don't go to restaurants on my birthday, Dr. Vicky.
Happy birthday to you. Yeah. All right, so that's as much as you're getting out of me, but a very happy birthday to you.
Well, thank you. Yeah. You know, the little joke, Alter had pointed out that I had made a comment, you know, I'm biased, but a Leo is the best sign. And she said a Leo would think that, and it's very true and funny. But I will say this. I've always loved being both a Leo and being born in the year of the tiger on the Chinese calendar.
Mm.
Like, yes, two, you know, big cats. Love it. And so I assume that's why I'm going to be destined to be emperor of the world. But that's just my take on it. So we'll see how that goes.
Well, I'm going to send you some funnies on your birthday.
I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, they're bound to have space aliens in there somewhere, Michael. So.
Well, I have no doubt.
That's great. You know, again, I want to thank everybody for joining us. I really enjoyed this conversation tonight, and I know that Wendy has put another link in our chat for another video that she came across. So what Wendy said is, the video in Spirit of Light broadcast Facebook page, she had watched it, but it took her down a rabbit hole of finding other videos. So so anyway, she's posted this other video in here, and I'm going to take a look at it, and I will post it, or even Wendy can, if you like, in our Spirit of Life Facebook page. So. But just you can watch for that too. Thanks for that, Wendy.
Absolutely. And remember, every time you visit the Spirit of Life Facebook page, an angel gets their wings. For our purposes, angels can be defined as interdimensional beings.
You're killing me, Michael. That's funny. We look forward to having Dr. Mike on in the next week or two as he's returned from his holiday, and however that works, however he's feeling. Meanwhile, we've got a couple other topics coming up. We'll have a good time. We always do.
We do. We find a way to have a good time each and every weekend. I credit you for that. I credit the people that join us live. The dynamic, you know, chat live kind of experience is wonderful. That's why I would never want to do just like a, you know, podcast recording with just the two of us without some kind of interactive, you know, we have a crew. We have a crew of the curious. We come together to, you know, explore reality. I love it. And I look forward to it every week. So, looking forward to next week, depending on how things work out. We're going to announce either, you know, our interview and discussion of aliens and the possibilities therein in Roswell, or we're going to be talking about, you know, control and management, or, you know, the history of metaphysics and, you know, what the ancients thought about it. So good stuff coming up. All right. Any last thoughts, Dr. Vicky?
No. Nope. Everybody hang in there.
Good advice always,
especially,
huh?
If you're in a heat wave. We certainly are here. It's kind of a brutal week, but heat waves everywhere. So chill out, everybody. Hope you're doing all right. Just 1 hour, one day at a time sometimes.
Absolutely. Let us all just thank the, you know, great universal consciousness for air conditioning.
That's true.
Well, thank you, everybody, for joining us. We really do appreciate it. And we're looking forward to catching up with you again next week. Until then, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everyone.